Thank you very much, and thank you for coming at the end of a long day. My name is Jeff. It's nice to see a few familiar faces and to meet some new people. Firstly, a little bit about me. I started my teaching career a very long time ago in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as a third grade teacher. I came to Asia about 20 years ago and started teaching English. I got my master's in training and learning technologies almost 20 years ago, and have been very interested in how to use technology for education since then. I started teaching at Pusan University of Foreign Studies in 1999, and have been forcing my students to use technology since then. I do a lot of online webcasting about different educational technology things at EdTech Talk and some other sites. I've been teaching CALL for about 10 years, computer-assisted language learning, and I've been teaching in the teacher training program for about 4 years at Pusan Weidai. A little bit about the presentation. Everything you see, all the slides, all the updated handout, a recording of this will all be posted here at jeffnebo.net/node317. The main website that I use for computer-assisted language learning is at learningcall.net. You'll see a lot of the resources I'll mention today there and a lot of other stuff. My personal site is jefflebo.net. My email, jefflebo@gmail.com. And I'll just mention that this handout is a Google document that is here. If anybody wants to, and I hope during today and perhaps after today, you all can contribute to that document. Anyone can edit it. If anybody gets bored and you want to play around, you can click online handout and start editing it on your phone. So the agenda I thought for the presentation is first, what does that mean, using the internet to teach reading? We'll spend most of today talking about tools and resources, and the big question, okay, great, all these tools, how do we use them in a real classroom? And let's start with, what does this mean? I think there's a few different ways to interpret this, a few different possibilities. One, well, just use the internet to get materials, to find some interesting readings, and then kind of teach the way you would with a book. So you can, instead of saying, open to chapter 3, here's an interesting handout. That's one option. Another part of that option is using the internet to get great ideas for teaching lessons and for your own professional development. So that's possibility number one. Possibility number two is when you have a one-to-one classroom, which when every student has a device. It could be a desktop, a laptop, an iPad, but something that they can use. And you could use that for a teacher-guided curriculum. Okay, today we're all going to read this text, and we're going to do these activities together. That's possibility number two. And the third possibility is where every student has their own device, and they're allowed to explore and find the reading material that they're most interested in. There are probably some other possibilities, but those are what I have in mind as I'm presenting these materials. There are always variables in teaching, especially when technology is involved, starting with the tech stuff. What kind of computers do you have? Is your internet connection fast enough to handle a certain activity? Curricular constraints. Well, we have to teach to the test, so I only have one class each month to do this reading stuff, or whatever the constraint might be. And teacher training and preferences. Some teachers just prefer hard copies. They prefer books, and I think that's a reasonable argument. I can't disagree with that. Or they prefer not to use them. So as we're talking about these tools and resources and thinking about, okay, well, what are the components? How do we actually learn to read? There's the phonics, the phonological awareness part of it. That, you know, language skills never exist totally by themselves. Part of reading is learning sounds, to recognize that this word sounds this way. So you've got the consonants and the vowels, the phoneme level, the accent, that when you're reading about Africa and you see the word S-A-F-A-R-I, you know that word is safari or safari. Learning how that word is pronounced is part of reading. The internalization of sounds, recognizing that these sound alike, but look very different. These rough and though look alike, but sound very different. That's part of reading. sight words. Those of you who've done the teacher training program and know about extensive reading are certainly familiar with sight words, learning to recognize them without having to process, developing your vocabulary, put all those together, and of course you've got fluency. So if that's reading, the question is, how do we use internet tools and resources to develop these skills? The challenging part is putting the pieces together. So I'm going to show you some tools. I don't pretend that I have the answer for you and that this is going to work in your classroom. I hope to show you some tools, and hopefully together we can start putting some pieces together in a way that would be useful. Advantages, disadvantages, let's talk about later. Let's get to the good stuff, tools. And I'm going to sit down for this because I need to do some surfing, if you'll excuse me. Quizlet has been a tool that has been the most widely used recently from trainees in our program. It's basically a flashcard site, but what it lets you do, so you can make a very basic set of flashcards. To enter this, you can put in English and Korean. You can add images if you want, and so you wind up with a basic flashcard set. And you can choose whether you want Korean or English first, and then you click and go through. All right, basic enough. The real power in this comes with some of these other things that it comes with. If you want, for example, to play a game, this is really good for developing sight words. So, see, okay, how about, okay. Where's Kada? Oh, I'm not going to break my record. Ah, darn, I didn't beat my time. You can play it again and again and try to beat your speed. I could see this being done. If it's a one-to-one classroom, I can see kids trying to beat their score. I could see this being used as a team game where they have to call out the answers to someone. Some of the interesting other features, you'll notice that it has audio. So, and I should mention, there are thousands and thousands of sets already online that you can use. If you want to create your own, you can. If you want to use others, that's fine too. So it has the audio component, which is pretty good. The really funny part is if you set the language to Korean, but you ask it to speak English. Let me make this a little bigger. It speaks English with a Konglish accent, which I find very amusing. You can also, if you want to do a test, you can create a basic test that they can do online. And so a lot of trainees have started using this in their teaching already. You can have your own class if you want, and people can only access by password or by membership. If you want to post it on your website, you can. If it's an existing set that you want, you can copy it to your own account and edit it. So a very useful, it's free to do most of the good stuff. There's a few extra features that you might need to pay for, but the free version is really pretty good. So that's Quizlet. Another tool that is really simple but kind of useful is the dictionary extension. Now this comes with Chrome. I don't know how many of you use Chrome, but you'll notice I'm using Chrome now. On my USB, I have Chrome installed. Anywhere I go, I use Chrome. It makes my life better. It's faster. It's lighter. It has more features. If you come away with one piece of advice today, use Chrome. And it has functions like Google Dictionary. So if I go to a page, and by the way, here's the page where everything is a presentation and audio, and I click on a word, it'll give me, if I want a Korean translation and pronunciation, microphone, If you want to change that to an English definition, you can get an English definition. Okay. All right. Hello?
Your tail?
So this is a simple extension to Google Chrome that you can use to add the translation. You can set the language that you want it to define things in. And again, the accuracy of the audio is pretty good. Similarly, there's a Speakit Chrome extension, which lets you highlight a selection of text and speak it. All right, I don't especially like that audio. So you can go here, and there's a number of different settings that you can choose and test out. All right, well, that's kind of fast. I'd like to slow that down.
Middle school English teacher sounds wonderful.
I'd like some different accents.
This is a dead text for Google Chrome extension called Speakit.
This is one of the different accents. All right, well, I'd like my students to be familiar with a UK accent as well.
This is a text for Google Chrome extension called Speakit.
All right, so it's a pretty decent text-to-speech option. Speaking of speech-to-text, Google Translate, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. It's very simple to type in a word. And you get a decent, translation isn't always perfect, but there's some other features that a lot of people aren't aware of. Starting with this little, show an example. And so in terms of reading, this is going to search the web for recent examples of that word. And so if you want to see real life examples of a word, here they are, and it gives you the site where they were originally posted. Another really nice part of this is speech recognition. If you want students to practice their pronunciation skills, fantastic. Not bad. All right, but what if I'm not such a good speaker? Fantastic. Oh, I missed it. And it doesn't have to be just a word. They would like to speak English very well. Okay, my pronunciation is okay. And again, the translations aren't going to be perfect. But what if they would like to speak English well? Okay. Well, I guess you have to be careful sometimes what you get. But I think one of the value of this kind of technology is kids will practice this again and again. They will not quit until they can get it correct. So simple tools, free tools, but something that might be useful. Voki. Voki is another speech-to-text tool. And the way this works, you can enter, you can use your phone if you're in North America. You can type in text. You can record your text, or you can upload an audio file. And what it will do is create an animated avatar for that. So this is an example. One of the teachers from last semester has been using this a lot, and she asked me to do some recording for her.
9, a perfect part of Indian cuisine. Have you ever eaten naan?
So that's one authentic voice example. The text-to-speech is okay. It's not great. That's the wrong example. All right, well, it's a text-to-speech option that you have as well. Oh. By the way, this is a Google Doc. My presentation is a Google Doc. I love Google Docs. I recommend anyone who, everything I do is here. It's really easy to post on a website. It's very easy to modify next time. You don't have to worry about saving it to your USB drive. It's always there in the cloud. Highlighters. Let's say you've got a piece of text online that you want to direct students to, and you want to add some notation, some annotations. There are a number of tools that let you do this. I think my favorite is Digo. What Digo actually is a social bookmarking tool. I use Digo a lot because you're always finding websites that, oh, I want to remember this website, but maybe you're at your school computer and then you can't remember it when you get home, or vice versa, or you're borrowing a laptop. This lets you create an account and just wherever you are, add it to your Digo account. And so I can always find my bookmarks wherever I am. It also lets me see other people's bookmarks. So when there's teachers around the world that I follow and I know they find interesting stuff, I follow them and that helps me find interesting links. One of the functions of Digo is it lets you highlight things. So this is the Digo guide on learning call. And because I have already bookmarked this and highlighted this, I can have, okay, well, I want this part highlighted, I want that part highlighted, I want to leave a little note here. So I say, okay, make sure to check your notes and please do this step. If I want to share this, you can get a URL. I'll share this page. I can use this annotated link. And so anybody who goes to this link will see this annotated version of the page. So if you're using an online resource and you want to be able to annotate it, Digo is a nice tool for that option. Word Cloud. These are tools like Wordle or Tuxedo. And what they let you do is take a body of text or take a web page, and it creates it's called a tag cloud based on the frequency of words. I don't know if you can see, but can you guess what this book, can you guess what this tag cloud is? If you were to look at those words, it's a story. A famous short story. And so you might look for which words are bigger. Yeah, The Gift of the Magi, the story about where she cuts his hair and he sells his watch. So it's the kind of thing you might use in the beginning of class. What do you think our story is about today? And Wordle does not support Hangul, but here you can see an example of a trainee who chose a story, and here's, I think there's an article in English, and then something else in Korean. So there are tools that allow you to do it in Hangul. Just by way of reference, using English.com is an amazing website. They have great just resources. If you want every phrasal verb in English, it's the place to go. Or every idiom. Just really nice, usable definitions of each idiom. If you click on it, you get examples. The real power comes in the forums. There are Ask a Teacher forum. People are always asking me, what's the difference between this and or I have to log in. Like, for example, what's the difference between out of our control and out of control? People are always asking questions like this here. So it's the first place I go. When I need to explain a grammar point, I go to Using English, I search for it, and usually there's a long discussion about it. So as students are coming across these questions, it's a really useful resource. One of the other questions I get a lot as students are learning vocabulary is, oh, how common is that word? Should I learn that word? Is it common? This site is just a really quick, easy way to answer that question. And what you do, so give me a word. Give me a word. Training. Training is the 457th most common word in English. So it's also useful for like comparing words. So like teacher, how common is teacher? All right, the 1174th. What about educator? 39,000. So teacher is much more common than educator. This is based on the British national corpus, millions and millions of words used in real life. So another simple tool, but helps me answer questions in a quantifiable way. So I want to pause for a moment first and see if there are questions about any of these tools or anything else so far. Yes, everything is free. I like free. Some of the services, nice to see you again, will have premium services like Quizlet. If you, for example, if you want to upload your own image, you have to pay. But otherwise, it's free. Yeah, I don't like to recommend things that you have to pay for. We're teachers. We don't like to pay. Any other questions so far? If not, then I want to pause and give you a chance to think about putting the pieces together. Just for 5 or 10 minutes, I want you to talk to each other and think, well, I could maybe use that flashcard thing for this kind of activity. Or no, what I really want is this kind of tool. And what I'm going to do is give you a little thing to take notes, just 5 or 10 minutes, and then we will continue. So let's do it in groups of 3 or 4 people. Let's say, group of 5, group of 5. Nice to see you, my buddy. No paper? Oh, sorry. No paper? Oh. You can have your own if you want. Yeah, for now, just decide. How might you use these tools, activities, or... All right, I saw some good ideas and thoughts happening. By tools and resources, I'm thinking tools are things you use to play with something. Resources are sources of material. Before we move to resources, were there any questions people had? All right. There's a lot of resources. I'm going to go pretty quickly because I want to give you a little bit more time to speak with each other. Those of you who have been in our teacher training program have experienced extensive reading. I think it is one of the most effective ways to learn language, and it's based on these guys' ideas. Who are these guys? Oh, come on, trainees, who are these people? Sorry. This is Paul Nation, this is Stephen Krashen, and that's Rocky Nelson, old TTP trainer. And Stephen Krashen is all about comprehensible input. All you need to learn a language, input, 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 input. Read, 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 listen, 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 and you'll learn the language. But it has to be enjoyable material. And so traditionally extensive reading programs look like this. There's a whole bunch of graded readers that you can choose from, and you spend most of the class reading, and it's generally pleasant, and people learn without suffering. So what does an online approach look like to extensive reading? Well, first there are extensive reading resources. These are all kind of portal sites, and some of them have actual materials that you can use to stories and things like that, teaching ideas. There's also a number of really good level tests. If you want to test the level of your students' reading, almost every major publisher has their own test. So you can send them to these websites. They'll ask different kinds of activities, whether it's matching word or choose multiple choice, and it will assess their level of vocabulary and their level of reading. So what does the next generation of extensive reading look like? My guess is a lot of hyperlinked mobile text. When you have a bunch of kids with an iPad or a Galaxy Tab, just kind of reading, and it's linked. Oh, they just mentioned a monarch butterfly. What's a monarch butterfly? Quick. Oh, that's a monarch. So that has advantages and disadvantages. Maybe they'll be a little bit less focused. But you talk about just wandering around this world of reading, driven by your curiosity and your passion, you couldn't ask for a better technology. The challenge will be finding level appropriate. You can't go to Wikipedia and learn about a monarch butterfly because it's going to be too difficult. So in the meantime, how do we find that lots and lots of enjoyable, comprehensible input? Well, there are a few websites to take a look at. And for this, I'm going to go to the presentation handout. Starting with the reading portal sites, and this is a section in your handout. And these are sites that are devoted to teaching reading. And so they've got lots of lesson ideas. For example, this is an activity to develop searching, skimming, and scanning skills with Internet Bingo. And so you've got the whole instructional plan, you've got materials, you've got a discussion about, you know, people can make comments. So these sites all have lots of that, and lots of stuff for professional development, reading ideas. Starfall is a great reading site, but for younger learners. I don't think it's appropriate for middle school students, but if you have young children yourself, send them to Starfall and go watch TV. They'll be fine. These are some sites that have literature. And generally, the only kind of literature, not the only kind, but the most common kind of literature that's available online for free is old stuff, stuff that is no longer copyright protected. But still, you get thousands of books, some of them children's books. Project Gutenberg is one of the biggest ones, and you can see an example of, they have the book, not only, they've all in all different formats. So if you want to see it online, you can, but they also have EPUB and Kindle and PDF. And so if you just want to use these materials, this is all available. And so these sites have thousands of these books, but generally they're not especially new. They're kind of old literature. But then you get some interesting sites like Booksy. Booksy is a site where people publish their own stories. And there's a young adult section which is quite active. So here's a story called A Different Twilight and a Different Bella. And it was written by a teenager. I don't know how old she was. But here's her short story. And it's, you know, short enough. It's authentic language. It's written by a teenager, so maybe it's not perfect, but it should be of interest to the audience we're talking about. Plus, you get the discussion. And I think this is a really important part of an important value that online materials can add is the social value. When people talk about it, when someone can read this, and then they can read other people's comments, and then maybe comment themselves. And I think it creates a kind of engagement that can be hard in a traditional classroom anywhere. So that's Booksy, and there's a lot of material there. The International Children's Digital Library has a lot of books. And they're sorted by grade or age level, so 3 to 5, 6 to 9, 10 to 13, kid characters, real animal characters, imaginary characters, picture books. So there's a lot of different categories, including some of them are comics. And a lot of them are, it is an international library, so you get a lot of stories from all over the world that have been translated into English. So if you're looking for kind of culturally rich material, this can be a very good source. And that's the International Children's Digital Library. Stories online is good, but they have famous people. They're famous people reading stories.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Storyline Online. With the rows of endless and tall tactics, Marissa and her mother walk hand in hand.
So they have the famous person reading it, and then they have a whole bunch of activity guides. So they've got activities and handouts and teacher notes. The problem with this, they don't have the text. These are modern storybooks, so it's great for listening, not so great for reading. Storybird is another site where people create their own stories, especially young people. What they do is they provide images. There's a huge catalog of images, and then the users can create their own stories using those images. And a lot of them are very, school oriented. So 7 ways to survive school. And a lot of them are kind of very basic level, simple, they're digestible. They're short enough. And again, it's very social. So you can see 1,400 people have liked this. You've got lots and lots of comments. So, I think it's a good way to get engaged with reading. And so a lot of these have similar kinds of resources. This just has 365 stories, and they're all pretty short. They're all kind of kid-oriented, a clean toilet bowl. That's a attention-grabbing title, and they're all very short. So if you're looking for short text, this is ESLFast.com. These are common American folk tales that it's short versions of them. So, I'm glad it's not me. This is me. So they're kind of shorter versions. It's just text, no illustration, but another option. These sites are book reviews. So if you're looking to buy books, these have lots of reviews from both teachers and kids. So they usually have quite a few reviews, which themselves can be kind of useful sources of reading material. One of my favorite sites, Free ESL Materials. This is done by a guy named Sean Banville. Perhaps you've heard of some of these sites, Breaking News English or Lessons on Movies. These are really easy to use materials. So let's take a look at the latest Breaking News English story. This is from September 11th, yesterday. And here's the text of the story. Pretty short text. It comes with lots of audio if you want British pronunciation, American pronunciation, and 26 pages and 40 exercises for that text. Ready to go. And it's always nice when you can use current materials. So Breaking News English has 1,762 lessons just for that. Here, it's basically the same thing, just lower level. News lessons, newsenglishlessons.com. So here you can see the text is a little bit shorter, the language will be a little bit easier, but it's the same kind of thing. Lots and lots of activities. And they've got all these other, movies, celebrities, holidays, and here's just this long list of things to choose from. BBC and CNN each have their own student news sites, which are pretty good. Many Things Reading does something similar with Voice of America news. I like Breaking News English and those sites better because the materials are just so ready to go. But these are worth checking out. So other sources of high interest materials that teenagers or tweens might be interested in. These are magazines that target either teenagers or tweens. tweens are between childhood and adolescence, so like 11, 12 years old. Some of them are written by adults, some are written by the young people themselves, and sometimes they're just discussion questions. What's your biggest tween insecurity? And so again, you get these long discussions about pimple or huge feet or whatever, but it's all very authentic language. And there's lots of boys' magazines. Frankly, there's more girls' magazines than boys' magazines. I think girls read magazines more. Like how to build a ship in a bottle, English instructions. There's several sites that have a lot of good animal content. This is National Geographic, Kids National Geographic. And so you have, Tiger Cuddles with Apes. And it's a pretty easy text, short text, appropriate, I think, for middle school students. Comics. I never read comics much when I was young. And as I was looking for sites, I was a little bit shocked. There's a lot of very adult content in comic books. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of sexual stuff. There's a lot of, the portrayal of women is not great in comic books. If I was a mother, I don't know if I would let my son read comic books. But there are some great sites that are safe. And a lot of these take international comic books, a lot from Korea and Japan, and translate them into English. For example, Dr. Frost, I just found out, is a popular Korean comic book. And here you have, this is chapter 79, I think. No, 77. So this is a comic book your students would be familiar with. And here you can see, the graphics are Korean, but it's all translated into English. They've got a lot of Japanese comic books, and they've got a lot. There's a lot of content. So these are all the translations that were posted in the last 15 hours. And you can see they're translated not only into English, but into other languages as well. Not only do they have the translations, but this is what boys talk about, comic books. There's 117 replies to the latest chapter of Dr. Frost. And so again, social, authentic, relevant to some of your students. So all of these sites have lots of stuff. I think these top three have the most, the kind of comics that your students would be interested in. Which brings us to K-pop and Korea material. Hallyu, I think, is the Korean English teacher's best friend. Because the world loves K-pop and they want to talk about it, there are lots and lots of English materials about Korean dramas, Korean actors, Korean musicians. And there's a number of sites, like all K-pop and K-pop stars mostly have really short articles about, so K-pop will have these short kinds of, that's not that short. All right, so this looks like an interview with them. So you've got this K-pop material. Here you have page 1,240 discussing Gu Hae Sung. People talk about her a lot, apparently. and every K-pop star has their own forum with discussions like this. This page is not loading right now, but I guess one of the popular dramas now is Master's Son. This is a long recap. So there is a lot of material about K-pop out there. There's also a lot of sites that have lyrics for Korean songs. So if you want to use a song in your class, here they've got After School, Heaven, and it's translated into English. They don't have the Hangul. What they do is they romanize the Korean. This is for all the people out there who want to sing along to K-pop. To quickly go through some of these others. There's a lot of materials, a lot of the non-Koreans who live here blog about it. And so there's a lot of places that you can get information. Some is very positive, some is not so positive. Weiguk.org, I'm sure some of you might have seen your native English speaking teachers use Weiguk.org, is one of the more common discussion forums. But you'll get discussions that your students might be interested in culturally to see what the non-Koreans here are saying about Korea. This is also a tremendous source of PowerPoint. A lot of your co-teachers probably get PowerPoints. I hope I'm not giving away any secrets, but lots of great materials you can get there. If you're looking for lyrics to English songs, there's plenty of sites where you can get those. If you're looking for transcripts to TV shows, these are sites where you can get the transcript, where you can print it out. If you want the subtitles, if you want to show the video and see the text as you're watching the video, these are places where you can download the SRT file. And what you do, you play the video, you load the SRT file, and then you can see the subtitles. You can get these for English TV shows. You can also get them for Korean TV shows. If you want the English translations of popular Korean dramas, you can get them at some of these sites. I'm sorry, specifically this site. This is, if you want English subtitles for Korean movies, it's withs2.com. A couple other sites I'll mention. ELLLO is a site that has lots of very authentic transcribed audio. Some of it's audio only. One of the things I like about this is they have people with a lot of different accents. It's not all native speakers. You have native speakers and not native speakers.
So Naomi, so you're from Wales and you're 11. So what does an 11-year-old girl do for fun?
So you've got the audio, you've got the transcript, and then you have a couple of activities here on the side. Sometimes they'll do video.
And
my question is, if you have lots of money, what would you invest in?
So again, you've got the transcript and activities here. A couple of final things I will mention. Professional development. I know you guys are busy, you work all day, who wants to go home and click on something else? But there are a lot of online communities that have just great resources. A lot of these are Facebook groups, and you'll have thousands of members from around the world. This is a resource someone just posted yesterday that's actually quite useful. It's an educational library blog. They have the PDFs of a lot of great grammar books and things. There are also some grammar Google groups, Google communities that are quite nice. Some of these made me laugh. Some of them are resources. Some are just sort of teachers sharing things that teachers would appreciate. I don't know if you can read this. It says, synonym, a word you use when you can't spell the word you first thought of. So when you're on the board and you're trying to write a word and you can't spell it, a synonym is the other word that you think of. So these are links to lots of different professional development communities. Some are on Facebook, some Google. There are DIGO groups, the social bookmarking site that I mentioned. You can join a group and get links from them. So I would encourage you to check out some of those. Finally, I'll mention some online tools. There are some apps that are great for reading. Most of them are not totally free. The light version of this particular app comes with, I think, 25 stories. But they still come by level. You can read a text. You can take a quiz. You can take it again. This one is called K-12 Timed Reading Practice. And this is probably the biggest secret that I wasn't aware of until recently. Amazon has their Kindle. and they have a library of literally millions of books. A lot of them can be downloaded for free. If you go, you need an Amazon ID, but if you register at Amazon, search the Kindle store, because you can search for electronics or whatever, search the Kindle store and search for whatever you want, young adult, sports, fashion, and then you sort the price low to high, you'll get page after page of Kindle books that cost $0, and you can download them for free. When you download it, it will be an AZW file, which can only be read by a Kindle. However, you can use a program called Calibre, and this will let you convert it to almost anything else. These are all Mobi and EPUB are much friendlier mobile formats. You can use your Galaxy or your iPad or whatever. It will also convert it to a PDF. What I'd like to do is give you some more time to gather your thoughts and figure out how to put the pieces together before I return you to your groups to make wonderful things happen. Any questions, confusions, overwhelmed feelings? So as you get back together in your group, I would love for you to share thoughts on how you might use some of these resources or tools, but also I would love for you to share other resources and tools. I'm sure you know of things that you can use. Because what I'd like to do at the end is collect these and add these to the Google document so that we can share these with each other. So please return to your group and try to put some pieces together. Thank you.